Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk. Tackling the stigma.
Yeah, my name's Mick Coyle. Mental Health Monday is back, and I'm back on Mental Health Monday after a couple of weeks away. It's the show where we sit back and we talk about mental health in an open and hopefully honest way, and we do so as inclusively as possible. If you want to share your stories, you can absolutely get in contact with me here at the station. You can tweet in the show live, or you can contact us via email as well, mick@radiocity.co.uk. If you've got a mental health story that you want to tell us about, maybe it's about your own mental health journey, maybe you're part of a charity or organisation doing fantastic work within the medical the mental health sector, do drop us those emails, tell us about the work you're doing. And you could be regularly featuring here on Mental Health Monday, mick@radiocity.co.uk. Now, our guest in the studio on today's show is somebody who's from the south of England and spent the last year or so living up in the northwest, now based in Bromborough on the Wirral, originally from Hastings. Welcome to the studio, Ryan Farmer. Ryan, it's great to see you.
Yeah, thanks very much. You too.
You are about to, well, we'll talk about your mental health, but you're about to really test your physical health. You're going to run a half marathon in, what, less than 3 weeks' time?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the 10th of September, the Wirral Half Marathon, which is quite flat, I've heard. So it's a good initiation into competitive racing. So I think scared and looking forward to it.
Well, from our vantage point we have in Liverpool city centre, we can see out over the Wirral from here. So you can maybe plot your route. There are a few undulations as far as you can tell from this particular angle. Physically, how are you feeling?
Physically, quite good. Could be better. Maybe I've set myself a bit of a high task, but it's worth it for the charity I'm raising money for. So absolutely, even if I plod around it in 2 hours, I'll be happy.
I think people would be very happy with 2 hours.
Maybe that's two. Yeah, 2 hours will be fine for me.
To be honest, a 13-mile stroll for the is a nice afternoon's worth of strolling, isn't it? Even if you walk the whole thing, you're doing it for Chasing the Stigma. It's a charity we know very well here at Mental Health Monday. When did you first become aware of Chasing the Stigma?
Yeah, my first time I found them really was I went to my local GP for help with anxiety problems, and I was referred and was told it would be a long time until I got the initial assessment. It would be up 3-4 months before getting an assessment, so it was just wondering what to do until that point. I found Chasing the Stigma through Twitter, actually, and the Hub of Hope just popped in my postcode and found different support groups that were available to me, you know, in the area. Nothing I've ever seen before, maybe something I'd been scared at looking at before. But then I thought, this is an amazing charity, it's local to me, sort of I'm an adopted up here now, I feel, and that's where I first heard of them.
See, it's amazing because, of course, we're Jake Mills, who set up Chasing the Stigma and then has been working on this Hub of Hope for many, many months, I'll say years, because of how hard he's been working on it. And he's always been saying to me, we're going to have it up and running. It's going to be this thing you'll type in your postcode and it'll work. And then, of course, when they launched it, he came on and he said, this is how it works. And I looked at it and I put it on our social media and he put it on his, and we shared it around and we kind of went, this is what it's supposed to do. And you found it. You found it through social media. You used it. And it provided services to you. I mean, so the message got out there.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a charity called Wirral Pathfinders, and that helped me sort of support and advice they gave more on their webpage. Really, it gave me the help whilst waiting for that assessment, because that was a difficult time, kind of recognizing I needed help, but knowing that I needed to wait weeks to get that help. So I think that's why I think it's a brilliant resource.
Hubofhope.co.uk. You just type in your postcode and it finds local mental health services that are appropriate to you and where you live as well. And when you went on there as well, there was nothing on there. You didn't have to type in your details.
You don't have to give your name, your age, anything. It really is either you use the locator for where you are in your phone, your smartphone, or you type in your postcode. That's it. I mean, if you are feeling, if you do need help, there's a button to talk now that connects you directly to Samaritans, I think it is, for people who really are in acute need of someone to talk to.
Now, in terms of the moment where you thought, I better type in my postcode, I better find out somewhere, what was going on in your mind that you'd contacted the GP but you were aware there was a delay? What were you thinking during the time of that delay? Was it thinking, well, fine, but I do need something. I need to make a connection with somebody sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've had anxiety most of my life, certainly from my teen years onwards, and I'm in my mid-30s now. And at some point, I just went, you know, I can't go on like this. You know, there's a point where you know something has to change, and I have to try things differently. And that's when I first went to my GP, and I think maybe for the first time admitted I've sought help before, but not really been fully committed. I think this is maybe the first time that I've said I need to do things differently to manage this, to beat the anxiety and sort of depression that I have, rather than letting that beat me.
So when you had anxiety, when you became aware, or it was becoming a part of your life, you were living in the south of England.
Yeah,
sort of upbringing you had. Was there any sort of any factors in play that you felt that were particularly?
No, I mean absolutely not. I think I have a very very close family. My mum, my dad, my sister. We're very close, the four of us. My mum and dad extremely supportive, understanding. Never any pressure, just wanting me to be happy. They've supported all of the crackpot ideas I've had throughout my life. So there's never been any trigger. But there's always been something where I've never quite, maybe, you know, I didn't, went to university, didn't last through all of your university, didn't really recognise what the problem was. Spent most of my 20s in different jobs, you know, off, absent a lot from work, not really remembering or enjoying my 20s as you really should. And thinking, oh, that'll change when I'm in my 30s, I'll come to accept myself. And then you get to your mid-30s and nothing's really changing.
Did you feel at any point, I mean, maybe if you, you know, you sat down with a doctor, maybe you did this, you know, a doctor could diagnose those feelings as almost symptoms.
Yeah.
Did they feel to you when you were growing up, teens, into 20s, did they feel like you had symptoms? Do you recognise them as symptoms now? Or did that just feel like, well, maybe this is just what life is like?
I think at the time, yeah, I thought maybe this is what life is like. I'm young, things will get better. I won't have these anxious feelings. I won't be concerned about what people think of me, how I look. And you hear, yeah, you grow into, you know, you grow into yourself. And maybe I'm still waiting for that. despite being 35 years old now. But I never really recognised those as symptoms. And maybe was just a bit too embarrassed and ashamed to admit it, to be honest. I think that's always been one of the most difficult things. I think your own shame towards the feelings that you have.
Do you remember situations that you felt comfortable in? When you were there sort of types that you would, or friend groups that you would kind of revert to because you thought, I can relax here? Or did you find that anxiety was kind of creeping into what people would class as everyday life?
Yeah, absolutely, everyday life. I think, you know, going to play football, going to the pub for a drink, nothing was ever done spontaneously. It's always premeditated, pre-planned. If I could find a way out to get out of anything, I could. I think I always felt safest at home, in my own environment. But that's not to say, like, I'm quite a gregarious person. So it was always a real conflict between how anxiety was making me feel and this kind of person I think I actually am. Quite an outgoing, sociable person.
Yeah. There's a lyric in one of my favourite songs, and it's got the line, and I can't wait till I get home to pass some time in my room alone.
Yeah.
And it was based on that idea that in your 20s, when you have that feeling that you are rock and roll, but then in your mind, you're thinking, I'd just rather be on my own. I'd just rather not be in this environment, which is a strange thing because you're thinking, I imagine, at that time that you're starting out and you're in your 20s. And you should be grabbing life by the you know what.
Yeah.
And there's something in your brain going, don't do that. That's not for you.
Yeah, definitely. I think throughout my 20s there was definitely a sadness that I wasn't doing those things I knew maybe I should be doing, those rites of passage things. And then you look back when you're older and there's a sadness there that you haven't maybe experienced or fully taken advantage of life and done the things you really wanted to do.
Did you ever, was there one particular thing that you remember that you turned down just because your mental health was such that you just didn't want to even consider it as an idea?
Oh, I have. I have not gone to countless gigs of my favourite bands that I've wanted to see. And I've, in the last minute, I found a way not to go. Stag do's for my, you know, for my friends, stag do's. You name it. Things that I wanted to do, I've backed out of.
What were you? Did you have a sort of a technique for that? Were you a last minute then drop out, or were you the? Because many people will just say from the off, "Oh, I'm not available for those dates. That's not going to happen." Yeah. Just so you opt out at the earliest opportunity.
Oh no, I think it's ghosting, isn't it? I mean, that was definitely me. I'd say yes, and then disappear off the face of the earth for 3 months, and not have any contact with anyone. And then I think it was quite clear to everyone that I wasn't going to go. So it was always very last minute. Say yes to go with everyone, you know, give the idea to everyone that you're fine, the facade, that you're up for it, and then last minute.
Well, I think that's the thing, you know, we have a phrase which we use amongst our friends. We use it on the radio as well sometimes. If somebody's a Larry let down,
yes,
someone would go, oh, are we speaking to, who's coming, who's coming on board? Well, Ryan's going to be there. Oh, Ryan won't come. Why not? He's a Larry letdown. And it's not your friends are being cruel as such,
no,
but they don't understand your sort of your sense of mental health and well-being. Are they now subsequently aware of how you are feeling? Have you had a chat with anyone from when you were growing up kind of saying, look, those times when I was saying no, I really wanted to, but there was something that was stopping me. It was a mental health issue.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly have recently. I got married recently, three weeks ago, and quite a few of my old school friends were there, and it was nice to just admit to them, actually, you know, I'm sorry I didn't come to your stag do, I'm sorry I disappeared, you know, for a while and wasn't involved in your life or your children's lives, but there's a reason for it.
Yeah. And how did they respond?
Incredibly supportive, but and also they knew, you know, they must have had an idea, so I don't think it was a complete surprise.
In your Virgin Money giving page for the half marathon you're running, there's a bit of a write up about why you're supporting the charity that you are doing, and people can have a read through it. Personally, you say, I've lived with mental health issues for most of my life, always worrying that people think I'm pretending to be ill when in fact I'm desperately pretending to be well. Did you have a facade? Did you have a personality trait that would come out that would try and overarch or that would put the mental health things to one side?
Yeah, I have a facade. I think I still do, which is the smile and the outgoing personality. That's not to say that's completely fake. That's who I am. But I think with me, anxiety is the need for me and the really great ability I have in presenting this really sorted, calm, placid individual to everybody. Doesn't matter who it is, but actually underneath and, you know, inside, I'm experiencing real distress, real discomfort.
And I mean, you're talking about it now. We're live on the radio, and people will be listening to this as part of the podcast as well, and it's out there as well. In terms of where you're at the moment, how much of sort of the facade do you still need to sort of have in the drawer just to use, and how much of it do you think is something which you feel shadows of the past?
I would say probably it's too much. A facade, maybe if an act that I put on to give people I want to give people a good impression, and to the detriment of myself a lot of the time, because it's very tiring. But it depends. It depends what level the anxiety is at. Sometimes it just hovers in the background and it's fine. It's not always there, but sometimes it can hit you. And that's when you feel it.
And that idea that the social stigma, which I guess you're trying to avoid, because the facade is a way of kind of going, oh, he's fine. I was right. Yeah, he's doing fine. Yeah, I saw him the other day. He was smiling. Yeah, he was laughing. Yeah. He was joking. He was absolutely fine. Is that because it's almost simpler to do it that way rather than have to say, well, actually, I feel like this. I felt like this for quite some time. It's made me feel particularly uncomfortable at times as well. And there's almost the stigma around that makes you think it's just easier to do the smile, flash the teeth,
yeah,
and we'll go from there.
It is, absolutely. I think for myself with mental illness and sort of anxiety and depression, and I don't know if it's the same with other people, I think it's my stigma towards mental illness. It's not other people's. It's maybe my perceived, how I perceive they feel about my mental illness. And it's my shame towards it, my embarrassment of talking about it. Certainly recently, I'm doing things like this and speaking to you and doing the half marathon and putting my story out on social media. It's my way of accepting it. And just saying as well, yeah, I do all these other things and I've got all these other interests, but I happen to have anxiety. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't define me. And that's what I'm trying to get to.
We'll give all the details out in a few moments again about how people can support Ryan in the Wirral Half Marathon. It's only 20 days to go. We're sharing his story. He's raising money for Chasing the Stigma, which is a fantastic charity. Their Hub of Hope, you can find on their website, hubofhope.co.uk. We continue the conversation next.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
This is Radio City Talk.
Yeah, so it's Mental Health Monday. We have a guest with us in the studio discussing his own mental health journey, Ryan Farmer. He's also going to run the Wirral Half Marathon in just under 3 weeks' time. He's doing so for Chasing the Stigma, which is a charity which supports people who have mental health issues. They have also set up the Hub of Hope, where you can find local mental health services based in the UK compared to where you are. So if you type in your postcode on hubofhope.co.uk, that's something that Ryan did himself, and he's now on a different pathway than the one he was on when it comes to his own mental health, and he's about to take part in this incredible physical exertion 3 weeks away. Sorry to keep reminding you about it. Often, Ryan, people talk about how they feel when they are suffering with mental health problems. One of the things that people often talk about is exercise. Do you take any solace in pounding the pavement at all? Not everybody does, so you know, you don't have to say what you think we expect to hear.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's certainly my savior. I think for the endorphins that flow through your body after a minor victory that you might have, and secondly, for me, just getting outside, half an hour outside, running round, running through the woods, the Mersey Estuary, through Eastham Country Park, it's better than anything. But certainly getting out the door sometimes I can find very difficult. And this is challenging for this half marathon. But
And that's for when you're training. That's just when you're thinking of putting on new trainers.
Yes.
So do you have a cut-off point, if you like? Do you have like personal sort of boundaries that you've set yourself, be it the front door or the porch, or putting the trainers on?
I think for me, I'll get changed. It's leaving the house. So quite often I've been changed, ready to go, done my warm-ups, got to the front door and thought, not today.
And does that feel like a failure? Is there something in your head which is saying, come on, you need to do this work? Because I guess you're also trying to deal with the idea in your head that which doesn't feel right today.
Yeah, it feels like a massive failure, and then the recriminations start as to why you're not doing it, and then what have you got to feel bad about, the guilt. You know, why, look at yourself, why are you feeling like this? Why do you think everyone's looking at you? You know, think yourself lucky. So that begins after that. It's a bit of a vicious circle. So certainly recently I've just been almost throwing myself out the house just even to get out for a while, and you feel so much better.
And when's the moment of feeling better? Is there a moment? Is it when you finish at the end, or do you feel as you are running that this feels good, or this feels right, or thank goodness I stepped through the door?
It depends. I mean, sometimes when the anxiety is quite severe, my personal thing is I have a tendency to stop breathing. Or to forget to breathe. So I'm running thinking, this doesn't feel too good. Oh, I'm not breathing. Oh, okay. So I think about that. But most of the time I enjoy it. If you're in the woods, you know, you've got, you know, if the sun's shining, your nature, it's brilliant. So yeah, you enjoy it throughout it. And then when you finished it, if you've achieved what you wanted to achieve throughout that run, then you're happy.
And is it the equivalent of taking a pill that might last you 24 hours? Do you feel like, you know, within 12 hours, do you start to feel a different way again?
I guess it depends how you're feeling physically, how much it's hurting. But certainly mentally it lasts. And if you give yourself small, you know, small victories, and if you achieve those and tick those off, then you can go to the next one. And that means you can really focus on it, and kind of any unhelpful things that you may do to cope with my anxiety. So, you know, maybe drinking a bit too much, or you don't do that because you're focused on the next run you're going to have and it feeling as good as, if not better than the last one.
Do you have triggers there? You mentioned maybe drinking too much or anything like that. Do you have triggers where you think, I can feel something started now, or I can feel I'm at the start of a particularly anxious period, something that you notice maybe about yourself or your behaviour that gives you an opportunity to perhaps catch it or to check yourself?
Yes, I recognise it more. Initially, it's being very... Initially, you've got the anxiety, and that's very profound. My heart beating, I get quite flushed in my face, quite warm. So there's those physical things. And then after you get tired, I think the tiredness and the lethargy that you feel, quite flat. It's really flat sometimes. No interest in things. And that's when I realise actually something's, I can feel it.
And what sort of time, if you were to have an anxiety or an anxious period, what would that be for? Would that be, what sort of time frame would that be? Would that be over a period of a few hours you'd feel a set, over a day? Would it be a period of a few days at any time?
I think you know when you're experiencing it. Sometimes you know it's, I just need to ride out today. If you're at work, just need to ride today out, go home, go to bed. Tomorrow I'll feel better. Just get some sleep. And then other times it's really tangible and you have an idea, actually this is sticking around for a bit longer. It's a different feeling, and you know it's around to stay for a bit more. But there's never any obvious triggers for it. It comes, it goes.
Because people always say, oh, what have you got to be anxious about? Yes. You know, this is the common thing, isn't it? People, yeah. Oh, what they got to be anxious about as well. But it can be anything. It can be, presumably, for you stepping out the front door, going to work.
Absolutely. Sometimes I think it would be great to not have the feelings. You know, what do other people feel like? Just the daily life, getting up, getting changed, getting on the train, working, speaking to people. Sometimes it can be extremely difficult. Small things like that. And I think anxiety, but sometimes I think of it as worry. Worry over worry, almost.
And do you ever have a... Because that's the thing, isn't it? When you start thinking about how you're thinking, you almost get yourself into a spin, because it's a cycle. You're thinking, well, am I thinking about this because that's how I actually feel, or am I thinking about this because this is the anxiety thinking? And then sometimes, if you might actually have a clear and clarified thought away from the mental health issues, you then question as to whether or not that's a real thought, because maybe it's the anxiety playing a little trick on you.
Exactly. And you almost constantly go, well, you can feel yourself outside of yourself, almost looking at yourself going, you're trying a bit too hard here in this situation when you're talking to other people. That's, if you're feeling quite low, you can, you look in on yourself and go, you're trying a bit too hard to present yourself as this calm, you know, sorted individual.
And then when people speak to people, and you mentioned your friends, but if people are to hear you sharing these stories, when you talk about them online, when they hear your story through the Wirral Half Marathon you're doing as well, do you think people will then think differently about you? Is that maybe a fear that you might have, or do you think actually, you know, there might be a greater sense of understanding? Oh, maybe that's why he was like that on a particular day. Maybe that's why he was a little bit late for work. Maybe that's why, you know, that something may have happened, or something like that, where you think, well, actually, a sense of understanding from people might change their perceptions, might relieve some of the pressure on you.
I hope so. I don't want to use it as a complete excuse. Like I said, I don't want anxiety to be sort of hand in hand with my, you know, Ryan, or he has anxiety. Because I think with the way I feel, and there's positive things strangely about that, my anxiety, I think there's some kind of positive things that comes out of it, how I am towards other people, my understanding of other people, how I care about other people. But yeah, I'd like people to know I have anxiety and that I struggle with it, but actually it's not a massive problem. I'm quite a happy guy. If people want to joke to me about it, it's fine. You know, it's not something it's not taboo.
I think it's just I almost think if there was just one day in a year where everyone, we talked about the facades or the mask, if everybody just took them off and you could see everybody for who they were and how they were feeling, just one day a year, I wonder if we'd all just think differently for the other 364 days, because you'd suddenly go, oh, right, well, Ryan's like that. And I understand that because actually I feel like that. And I've got a friend of mine who also feels exactly the same, who's just looked at me and seen it through. It's almost like if you could just sort of drop the facades, if we could all just drop the facades, and talk about it for one day.
Yeah.
The 364 days, I think, would be very, very different.
Let's have an amnesty day. We should do it.
Absolutely. That's not a bad idea. In fact, producer Lizzie's writing that down now in the show diary. We'll pick a date and we'll pick it and we'll talk about it. We'll continue to talk about it. In terms of the training as well, the World Half Marathon, 3 weeks away. It's going to be a huge achievement, no matter how far around you get around. Just to say you've done it, I'm sure will be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
And people can donate as well. The great thing is when you donate, you can actually put on there the things, or leave a comment. Anonymous £5 wants you to smash it.
Yes.
Lee wants you to run, Ryan, run. Great cause. Kiss. Mum and Dad are proud of you always.
Which is fantastic, isn't it? Very lucky.
Anti-Max. What a guy. Ash says, run, farmer, run. And Rafa says, oh, 50 quid from Rafa.
I know.
Run like the wind.
Run like the wind. Let's hope so.
There you go. So how do people donate? If people want to show support, it's virginmoneygiving.com, right?
Yeah, virginmoneygiving.com/Ryan Farmer. I know everyone's got fundraising fatigue and everyone seems to be after money. You know, anything, it's a really great cause. It's £1 minimum. You can put gift aid on there if you're employed. Anything really would be really helpful. And
get on board. virginmoneygiving.com/Ryan Farmer. Just type in Ryan Farmer into the homepage and it comes up as well. It all goes to Chasing the Stigma, which right at the top of the interview, Ryan was saying, really helped him at a time where he was waiting for the medical world to sort of catch up. Wait, where are you up to in terms of that particular journey? Are you waiting on a...
I mean, I think I've been very lucky. I think with mental health services, it's a postcode lottery. Where I've been... I was referred. My initial assessment was quite slow in coming, but I know not nearly as slow as a lot of people are experiencing. But I'm actually at the moment able to see someone to get cognitive behavior therapy. So I'm extremely fortunate where I am to be able to receive this. Maybe about 5 months after I've requested it, but I've come to accept that. That's very quick. Even though it's not, I think that's quick, which is quite sad.
But also, it's a good way of saying to people if they contact their GP, if they do it as soon as possible,
yes.
It just means that although that might be 3 months, 5 months, 6 months, 8 months, it's 3 months, 5 months from today, as opposed to, oh, maybe I'll go next week, because it's 3 months, 5 months, 8 months from maybe next week. And then hopefully, Ryan, you'll continue to update us in terms of where you're at. Best of luck with that.
Yeah,
more importantly, best of luck with your own mental health journey. We really appreciate you sharing it. I'm sure many people listening to the program today will be thinking actually a lot of what you've been saying really rings true in terms of their own experiences. So thank you for your time. Thank you for the mental health amnesty idea as well. We will nick that and use it as our own. And we really appreciate you sharing your story.
All right. Thanks very much.
Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk. If you've got a story that you want to share, you can email the program. Mick@radiocity.co.uk. That's Mick@radiocity.co.uk.
Radio City Talks Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
Okay, so it's Radio City Talk. My name is Mick Coyle. We're going to take a look at an event which is coming to Liverpool this coming Sunday, the 27th of August. And it's a well-being festival happening in Liverpool City Centre, and it's called the Healthy Souls Festival
2017. One of the key organisers behind it is a man from The Brink, Liverpool. He's been a regular contributor to us here on the programme. He's been on Mental Health Monday before, David Barnacle. David, great to see you.
Nice one, thanks.
The Healthy Souls Festivals. It's good to have a healthy soul, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah. It's in the name, you know. It's a bit of an indication that it's a bit more than just the body, you know, maybe an indication of like a healthy mind as well.
Just tell us about the setup that you've got for this, because this is going to be it's a great environment, isn't it, for a festival and for a festival space?
Yeah, the Bombdell Church, one of the most iconic venues, I think, in the city. Lots of really, really good things have gone on in that place, you know, since it was open for public, things going on. I've attended a few things before now myself and really enjoyed and played in a few gigs there before now, really enjoyed them too. And I just think it's a perfect setting. You know, outdoors, we are praying for the good weather, of course, but, you know, that's a really perfect setting to do a lot of the things that we've got planned.
I mean, as part of it, I mean, one of the things that people might pick up on is this is going to be Liverpool's biggest ever mass meditation.
That's what we're hoping for. I mean, we haven't really got much of a clue about what the previous biggest one was.
I was going to say, so that was going to be my next question. What's the record you're looking to break?
Well, no one's put it down on paper yet or whatever, or got it on film. So even if they have somewhere, you know, there's no proof. So we're hoping this will be the best.
What does it mean, mass meditation?
So just as many people as possible, just doing a meditation all at the same time.
What are you hoping that people are going to get from that and the other events that you've got going on?
Okay, so, the effects of meditation itself are, you know, there's probably people who speak about it better than me, but I know that it helps with, you know, reducing stress and anxiety, you know, fostering a greater sense of ease and relaxation, focus and discipline once you start getting into it. But, I mean, I just think with so many people doing it all in the same place, there's also going to be a real sense of community and, you know, a bit of extra spirit going along with all that.
Yeah, and I wonder whether or not some of the things that people are getting involved in, and there's yoga, meditation, Tai Chi, Pilates, a gong bath. Apparently you'll tell us about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But I wonder whether or not this is something which people maybe have been doing individually within small pockets, and actually this is an opportunity to get it all together, maybe for the first time, where people are doing things in an environment together for the first time that they previously weren't aware that maybe there was a community around them doing the same things.
Yeah, well, I think you pretty much nailed it there. These kind of things, they're going on all over the city, I'd say more so than ever now, just with, you know, I've had maybe my finger on the pulse with this kind of thing for the last few years, working where I do in The Brink, you know, putting on things like this, attending things like this, taking part and, you know, making it part of my own, you know, what I do. People do seem more interested in looking after their own health these days. There's a lot more active people, whether it's just going to the gym or, you know, whether it's all the things that you've mentioned that we've got in the festival, or even if it's just raising awareness about mental health. You know, the fact that you've got Mental Health Mondays going on here now is an indication that, you know, health and awareness of health, especially mental health, is on the rise. People are taking a more active role in trying to do that, and as a result of that, it's reflected in the things that people are doing in their extra time or even in their full time. You know, people are training to be teachers, yoga teachers, you know, class leaders in all these kinds of activities, and it does seem to be going on in various little pockets all over the city, as you say, individually. And I think, you know, the timing is perfect to bring all that together into one place.
So it's happening Sunday, the 27th of August, Liverpool City Centre in the Bombed Out Church, the Healthy Souls Festival, described as a marathon of well-being events. But we must make the point, you don't have to do them all.
No, well, you don't have to do any, is the point as well.
You don't even have to come if you don't want.
I mean, it starts at 10, it kicks off with a nice little morning meditation, relaxation, and that comes with a brilliant breakfast that we've got designed, which is all designed to our sort of ethics of nutrition and gluten-free and sugar-free and all stuff like that. Chia seed pudding and a green juice from The Brink. And then you get to listen to a guest speaker, Erica Gibbon, who's a clinically trained nutritionist. So she can give you some information on all of that. A good few pointers on the core points of nutrition. So that's a lovely morning. We've got from 10 o'clock right through till 12. And 12 is when the gates open then. And that's where people can access all of the stalls on the outer church. So we're going to have, you know, food from Matters, Betty's Vegan Soul Food. You know, we're going to have henna. We've got dance from the Chinese Pagoda Arts. We've got gardening for kids and adults, flower bomb making, seeds and seed planting and stuff like that. Loads of different stuff going on around the outer grounds of the church, which is just £3 to pay in and have a mooch around. That doesn't mean it's part of the marathon of well-being on the inner grounds of the church. And that's just where if you want to take part in that, you can get your tickets from online or you can pay on the day.
Yeah, so what I'll do, I'll just mention this over the ticket. So basically, I've just done it myself this morning just to double check, but if you type in Healthy Souls Festival online, all the ticket details come up. Each individual session has an individual price to it, £5, £8, £10, whatever it would be. But you can also buy sort of an upfront afternoon or morning pass, which gets you into everything.
Yeah, that's the one. So there's a bit of value for money in the passes, which are going online. You know, the morning, for example, if you were to pay your entrance fee and then pay individually for all the sessions and your breakfast, I think it'd work out, you know, like 22, 23 quid or something. But the 17 quid early bird price online gets you access to all that. There's also a wellness tent as well that people with passes can access, which is free treatments to things like Reiki, massage, acupressure, wellness chats, and maybe a few other little things going on.
Now, Tai Chi, I think people can picture Tai Chi because it's that, you know, sort of people knees slightly bent, pushing in, pulling out, breathing and all that. I think people get a sense. So what's Qigong?
Qigong, yes.
Qigong.
It can be a variation of that. The operative word being Qi. Now, like the way it's being described to me by Jim McRitchie, who's taken this class, and I've actually got him to do a course at the Brink recently, saying that you do Qigong or you do Tai Chi or that you look after your Qi is like saying I play music. Now, you can play music in an infinite number of ways, you know, in an infinite number of settings. It's just that the Qi aspect and the Tai Chi and the Qigong is a specific way, of which there are many, of harnessing, they call, Qi stands for life force or vitality, harnessing and manipulating and working with the life force. So you'll see loads of different kinds of Tai Chi or Qigong. This particular Qigong is a much lesser known form of Qigong that was reserved only for Chinese aristocracy, you know, so the royal family,
right,
monks, you know, really high up monks.
That's the good stuff.
Warriors and stuff. And it was only really released onto the West 30 years ago against the Chinese will, by the way. The fella that took it over, who was a master to America, he got lots of pressure from the Chinese community for doing so because it was literally only reserved for the high ups in China. And it was only really an oral practice given from one person to another, such is its potency.
So Tai Chi after one, Qigong after four.
Yeah, and that's an internal. It's an internal practice. There's no movement involved.
Oh, really?
So all the movement that's going on in Tai Chi and Qigong, that's working with the life force, the vitality. But Nei Gong, this particular one, it's an internal meditation where you get information on how to access and work with the meridians where the energy flows in the body.
Oh, wow. So then Tai Chi, Qigong, and then a gong bath.
Yeah, gong bath. We all have
a bath. You might need a bath at the end of all this, but what's a gong bath?
Okay, so it's another thing we've seen is quite popular these days. Tickets fly out when there's events like this on. I've seen anyway. It's somebody who knows what they're doing with a load of gongs, right? So a load of gongs set up.
Actual gongs?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, big Chinese gongs set up and played in such a fashion which is, you know, in harmony with each other. So it's sort of like music. You know, it's played in that way, but it's done in a way which takes you up and down and round, I suppose, and into a really, really deep sense of relaxation and calm.
Ah, so it's like bathes you in the sound and the vibrations, reverberations.
Like to use that word, the vibrations, yeah, from the gongs. And, you know, each gong is used specifically to get a certain vibration, which apparently, you know, bathes the listener in a certain frequency.
There'll be people just stood outside the church, you know, who'll be picking up all these gongs for free, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
There might all be the just vibes. A general sense of well-being that just takes place in Liverpool city centre.
That's what we're hoping for, it to emanate, you know, from the church out into the city.
So when the mass meditation happens, I mean, presumably everyone then just, I don't know, presumably they don't all just fall asleep and everyone just relaxes. But as people go back to their, you know, busy lives heading into a bank holiday Monday, presumably you just hope that people come away just feeling like they've benefited, that they've maybe taken a few ideas that they might turn into their everyday lives.
Definitely. And what I wasn't sure it was on the list there was the triple yoga before the gong bath relaxation, and also the Pilates. So the Pilates is to get the blood pumping, and you know, it's not all just like, you know, lie on your back and, you know, let's float off somewhere. That the Pilates will get people up and active. And the yoga done by Natasha, my partner, is it's a specialised triple yoga, which is going to be Kundalini, then Hatha, and then Yin, which is a relaxing kind of yoga at the end.
Excellent. Now, what we'll say is, for people who don't understand any of the phrases you've just used or understand Qigong or Gong baths or anything like that, does it matter? If you
Absolutely
get down there
not.
On the day, you're not going to be, it's not like some like intermediate, you know, or specialist or expert sessions. Everyone can start this and just go in and have their first experiences.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, yeah, because that is important. You literally, all you need to do, if you like the sound of it and you're not familiar with it, is turn up and you'll be brought through each and every practice by an excellent class leader who's very experienced.
And that's all happening in fantastic settings as well. It's the Bondout Church this coming Sunday, the 27th of August as well. And it ends with that mass meditation as well, which will be Liverpool's biggest ever meditation.
We're hoping for that, yeah.
If you've been involved in a bigger meditation,
let us know, yeah. But
give
otherwise,
a quick heads up.
If you want to set the record, then come down and get involved.
Brilliant stuff. The Healthy Souls Festival. Loads of information on how you can get details of the tickets. I'd ask you to check out the ticket situation. It might well be one or two sessions are what you're looking for, but it might well be you want to get one of the passes or on the early bird, which means you can go through. I just mentioned this for kids and stuff like that as well. Families, what's the sort of situation in regard to how sort of easy it'll be for families to get involved?
Yeah, families and kids, we're doing lots for them. As I say, we've got the blue-green people there who are setting up a little zone where kids can get involved in, you know, getting involved with nature, planting seeds, making flower bombs and stuff like that. There's going to be dance and music for them to listen to, and hopefully a few kids' games and stuff. You know, there's food and other stalls to walk around and you know, some healthy treats as well. You know, we've got someone that we've seen in the vegan festival last week, for example, who's doing ice cream, absolutely gorgeous ice cream, loads of different flavours, but it's all sugar free, it's all healthy. So, you know, like, there's definitely loads for the kids.
Healthy Souls Festival 2017. Type it into Eventbrite, type it into Google, type it into Facebook. All the details will come up. David Barnacle, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And thanks for joining us on Mental Health Monday.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
This is Radio City Talk.